Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In a moment, I am going to say a few words. When I say those few words, I would invite you to close your eyes. And I want you to allow your mind's eye to bring about the face of a person you associate with those few words. Ready? Beaten down. Beaten down. Whose face comes to mind? I see the faces of a mother and father trying to make ends meet. It's past dinner, the table's a mess, the sink full of dishes. It has that smell that's like the alley behind a restaurant. The young one won't stop crying, and your group chat won't let up. I see unfinished homework on the counter, the day's work yet to be completed, and teeth to be brushed. The date on the calendar, Monday. Whose face do you see? I see a weathered face. It belongs to a woman. She's sitting on the curb of the road, holding on to a piece of weather-stained cardboard. Reflected in her face is the glow of the flashing yellow light above her. Cars, they stop, and the drivers look both ways, but they hardly see her. Do you see a face yet? I see the face of an older man sitting at a kitchen table. Sprawled across the table are condolence letters and bills. He never paid the bills. She took care of that. Now they only communicate absence. At the end of the day, he sits in his chair. His furry friend hops up onto his lap, and the chair where his wife used to sit comes into view. Their song comes on the radio. Beaten down. Luke tells us that Jesus is on the way. He's on the way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to the cross. But along the way, he comes across a village in the region between Samaria and Galilee. The exact location is unclear, but it doesn't take much imagination to set the scene. I imagine the village like any number of rundown towns in America. You know the kind. It's the sort with the empty lots where bustling business once took place. Or perhaps it's like that part of town you just don't want to hit the red light. By all accounts, it was a sandy, windswept village, and on this particular day, Jesus dared to enter. And no sooner did he enter than did a group of men shout over the sandy fog and the rays of heat. They cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now these 10 men, they kept their distance, much like boys and girls at a middle school dance. They were lepers. They were unclean. They weren't pure in their culture. By anyone's estimation, these men were beaten down. They didn't have to tell you. You could read it on their face. You could see the scars on their skin. And in their eyes, the haunting look of someone wanting to belong. These men were beaten down, and their lives were reduced to begging, and in this case, hoping and crying out for a miracle. And what did you know? A miracle they received. Even though they were at a distance, even though Jesus hardly knew who these men were, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as Luke tells us, they went to the priest, or as they went to the priest, rather, they were made clean. They were healed. But as they were healed, Something caused one of the men, who was surely on his way to tell his spouse or his friends that he had been healed, he turns back, he falls on his knees, and he thanks Jesus. The man hardly had time to grapple with the fact that his illness had been cured, that scabs no longer filled his arms, that his bodily scars no longer reminded him of his pain. And what does he do? He thanks Jesus. Now the other nine, we don't know what happened to them. They were probably so overfilled with joy and excitement. In fact, lest we be too hard on them, they did exactly as Jesus told them to do. They went to the priest. It's not like they were disobedient or anything. But something stirred in the soul of that one. And because of that soul stirring, he and he alone heard those last words from Jesus. Get up, go on your way, your faith has made you well. It's the kind of interaction that your friends would never believe. It's the type of interaction that reserves a special place, an intimate place in your soul. Get up, go on your way, your faith has made you well. By all accounts, these men were beaten down. They had very little to live for. But Jesus' arrival in that village, that changed everything. They were beaten down no more. They were lifted up from the yoke of their ailment. And in the case of the one thankful leper, lifted up in faith. Yet it is so often the case that we hear the stories of healing in Scripture and become tempted to take them with a grain of salt. For some, stories of healing can feel like salt in the wound. In fact, the words that Jesus says to the thankful leper can seem empty, especially for those who have prayed for health, but to no avail. For far too many of us, stories of healing like this are trying to see the forest through the trees. And in those moments, we can't see beyond our own ailments, whether that be physical, spiritual, or otherwise. We cry out for healing, or even just relief, but it can seem to fall on deaf ears. Beaten down. Here's the thing. God does hear our cries. I know this because God stays true to God's word. We trust God because of the ways God has acted in the past. And if Scripture is any indication, our Savior is one who keeps their word. If we don't believe this, why do we get baptized, right? Why do we take communion? Why do we come to church in the first place? Why do we do all these things if we don't believe God's word is true? So when God says God hears our cries, I believe it. Now, God and God alone can perform miracles. And if you think that somehow pastors are more privy to the workings of God, then you're in the wrong church. But what I can say, and say with conviction, is that God does heal. He heals in our lives and in this morning's gospel lesson. It's just not always in the ways we want or expect. God doesn't revel, for as much as some people would like to think. God doesn't revel in our pain and suffering. But I do think God weeps when we feel as if we are alone in the world. And illness has a particularly insidious way of isolating. The lepers, sure, there were 10 of them, but for all intents and purposes, they were alone. And the 9, when they were healed, what really happened is they were given back the gift of relationship, of belonging to a community. But something greater also happens with the thankful leper. It's the restoration to wellness that comes through the Samaritan leper's relationship with God, as shown in his thanks and praise. It wasn't the faith of the leper that brought about his healing. God alone can heal. Instead, his faith, as expressed in his worship of God, as prostrating himself, enabled him to find peace and well-being. Gifts that can be ours each day as we give thanks and praise to God. Friends, we are all here this morning to give thanks and praise to God. But we're also here for healing. We are reminded that we are healed in the waters of baptism and through the forgiveness of our sins. And while this healing may not be visible, it is sure and it is God-given. Knowing that we have been baptized and set free, we are sent into the world by God with all of our bumps and bruises, with all of our busyness, and we are called to share the load with each other. That if we hear or see someone in need, we go out of our way, like Jesus did, to offer aid. And if you find yourself identifying with any of those characters this morning, if you feel like you are being beaten down, first know that you are not alone. We have a community of faith. Know that our Savior is the one who lifts us up every day and on the last, and know that while this world offers empty promises, our Lord's promises are sure. Now close your eyes. I'm going to say a word. Grace. Who do you see? Amen.